Blog Talk Radio.
Enough of that song. Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to another broadcast of the Liberty Bell Hour, where we are letting sleep ring here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Daria DiGiovanni, and I want to thank you so much for joining me this evening. It's really great to be here, and I have to tell you, I'm getting used to the whole multitasking thing since moving over from WASS, and it's kind of funny when you listen to yourself and you do a little critique. I got a lot of positive feedback from everyone who listened last week, But you know how we're all our own worst critics. But in this case, I think it's actually constructive criticism. I'm being very aware of the use of the, it's not even a word, but of the use of this evening. So I will do my best not to use that filler and to speak in clear, concise sentences and you know, go from there and trying to get more professional with every week. But it is a little bit of a challenge. My hat's off to all the BTR hosts that do this a couple times a week, some for, you know, more than an hour. I really, you guys are great and you sound so professional. So I definitely have a lot of role models out there. Before I get to my wonderful guest this evening, the lovely, talented patriot Ava Aston, who is the performer of that wonderful song, We the People, I just wanted to take a brief moment to remind any of my listeners who are in Florida that we have a primary coming up on August 24th and that the early voting locations are now open. I posted a link in the chat room to the Palm Beach Elections website, and on that, if you go to that link, you can find all of the early voting locations. So if you're so inclined to vote before August 24th, so that you can maybe be freed up to help out your favorite candidates on primary day, that would be fabulous. So go to that website, I posted it in the chat room, and find out where the closest location is to you, and be sure to get out there and make your voice heard, because ladies and gentlemen, I can't believe it, but we are coming up on the November elections already, November 2010. And also on that note, I came across a very interesting and I think a very timely article on the American Thinker today, and I posted a link to it in the chat room as well. I did a little commentary and I excerpted it on my blog, dariaann.wordpress.com, from Lee Carey of the American Thinker. And it's sort of a cautionary note for the GOP not to get too comfortable should hopefully things go as projected in November and we take over the House and possibly even the Senate, that not to go all squishy moderate on the conservatives in the Tea Party movement who are helping to get them elected. So should they do that, the electorate, we may see the emergence of a third party. Right now, the electorate, the point that Carey makes is that the electorate is still willing to work within a two-party system, and we're still willing to reform the Republican Party. But once elected, we will hold them accountable. So it's an excellent article. You can check it out on AmericanThinker.com. And like I said, I wrote about it on my blog, dariaann.wordpress.com. So without further ado, because I know you're all here to speak to my lovely, talented, fabulous guest this evening, I'm going to go ahead and bring on Ava Aston because I see her on the switchboard. And let me go ahead and bring her on board. Good evening, Ava.
Good evening, Daria. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Excellent. Well, good to hear. Well, what I want to do just real briefly for anybody who may not know the story of how we all came to know each other, just to kind of fill everyone in, and then I want to talk about some of the new exciting happenings that are going on in your career. But Ava and I actually met through social media, another social media marketing success story, through a mutual friend, Jir. And it was funny, Robert Spring, he contacted me because I had the good fortune of being able to go to the 9/12 event last year in D.C. and let me know that he had this talented singer, patriot friend, who was looking for some footage of that event. And so he put Ava and I together, and that was the start of a wonderful friendship. And it's been a real pleasure. And the video for We the People is just fantastic. Check it out on your website is avaaston.com, and I posted the link in the chat room. But it's a wonderful song, and we're trying to make it go viral. So how are things going with that?
Well, last night we hit 60,000 views. Only took 8.5,
Yay!
9 months, but getting there slowly but surely. Very happy
Excellent.
About that. So we also I just made a new video for my song, I Carry You With Me, and that has only been up, I think today is going to be the third day, and it's over 500 views. So that's chugging along good as well.
That's fabulous. And with that particular song, I want to let our listeners know that there's a very special reason, in addition to the fact that it's a beautiful song, but there's a very special reason why they should support I Carry You
Yes.
With Me and
Yes.
the video. Why don't you go ahead and let them all know about that?
I recently found out that it was chosen to be on Lloyd Marcus's upcoming compilation CD titled TR the World, and all the proceeds from that are going to benefit americasmightywarriors.org. So I was really honored and blessed to be able to be a part of that and help in any way I can. And because our troops and their families have to deal with loss so often, we decided to go ahead and do a video for it that would go along with that theme. So that's what we did, and it's up there now and seems to be getting good feedback. So, you know, I hope that people can pass it along and look at it and, you know, be able to, it can help people that have had to deal with that unfortunate situation.
Absolutely, and it's such a beautiful song. In fact, it was, you know, in my review that I wrote of your CD, Gone, a few weeks ago, I mentioned that that's one of my favorite songs on the entire CD. It's just beautiful, and you did a fabulous job with the video. Very professional.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
So now you have some exciting things coming up. So speaking of tea and We the People, you've had a lot of amazing things happen recently.
Well, Facebook is a really amazing place, actually. It can be a bad place, but it can be a good place. We met there, obviously. And, you know, I've met other really amazing people like Robert Spring and some other people. But I also met my my new manager on Facebook, too. I don't know if I've ever talked about that on an interview yet. But,
no, that's awesome.
I've had representation now for just over 30 days, and some really cool things have been happening, and I'm definitely moving in the right direction. So that's interesting. It's just really cool how, you know, you can connect with people that you've never even met before and then find that you have so many things in common with them. And I mean, honestly, I don't even think that the movement of the Tea Party and conservatism would be able to have the momentum that it has if everybody wasn't able to connect like they are on places like Facebook and the social media sites, because everybody is you know, because so many people are surrounded by liberals or people that don't agree with mm-hmm. them, or that, you know, they're turning on the news and it's not telling them what they know is happening. They turn to places where they know they can get information. And I think it's really helped the movement a lot. So.
Oh, no, I agree. And even, and from a practical standpoint with candidates, and this even extends to Blog Talk Radio, it's given grassroots candidates all across the country a forum that they would not have had before, and sort of enabling them to get donations from people from all over the country, which is also fantastic.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm really cool. I'm really excited because actually I didn't even think about this before, but I was talking about the things that have happened in 30 days. We the People video has actually gone up 17,000 views on YouTube in 30 days. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So it's kind of starting to just, you know, just now kind of just start really, really going in a full steam ahead mode. I don't know. It's like a lot of people are just finding out about it. I feel like I post it every 5 minutes on Facebook, but so many people are like, oh, wow, I just heard about this. It's great. And I'm like, okay, great. Well, pass it along. But found out I'm going to be playing a cartoon voice in an upcoming feature, the Rat Pack. So I'm going to be playing the voice of a rat. I haven't decided which rat yet, I'm going to be a cartoon rat. To add to my list of things. I'll just pretend I am a Liv.
You're a woman of many talents, Ava, so
yes.
Why not? That sounds
why
really
not?
Exciting. I mean,
go ahead.
No, I'm saying, you know, it's great. I mean, the versatility, and I should point out to our listeners who don't know that you also are an actress, and you have a commercial out now as well, right, that's been running on cable?
I do. It's funny. People keep telling me. They keep saying it. It's for Cystic Cranberry Complex. It's a cranberry supplement. And, I did that. It's running. And it's funny because my honey's grandma calls me all the time. It's like, I saw your commercial like 10 times today. I guess it's running a lot in Florida. But it is running, and that is me. So if you see somebody on TV and they say, my mom, she used to drink so much cranberry juice every day. That was me. That is me.
Well, I saw the video you posted, and even though I didn't see it, because I don't really watch much TV, but I saw the video, and it was so neat to see you doing that and thinking, hey, I know her.
Yeah.
So
I did a commercial also for HydroxyCut, too, two of them, but they haven't been released yet, so I'm kind of waiting on those, too.
And that's amazing, because that was almost, we're going on a year ago for that, right, in November of last year?
Well, November, yeah, I filmed the first one in November and the second one in March of this year, and I'm I don't know what the heck is going on over there at Hydroxycut, but they're doing something. Well, they make they make a lot of products. So, you know, they also make Zinedrine, and I know they put up a new website and everything for that. And then it's weird enough, you go to the Hydroxycut website, there's just nothing. It's just words. So we'll see.
Interesting.
We shall see. Yeah. But if it does come out and people see it, it is me.
Well, I mean, speaking of just the industry in general, because I don't really know, for those of us listening, I'm sure most of my listeners are not aware of this. I mean, is that pretty typical for your industry? I mean, do things usually take a long time, to see the results once you've filmed something?
It depends on what it is. Sometimes, if I'm doing an industrial or something, it can be fast. Well, the Cystic Cranberry was pretty fast. I filmed it in May, and it was on TV in July, so... And I had a copy of it, the following week. So I think it depends on the production company and it depends on the people. Just never know. I haven't done that big, giant, rock and roll movie yet here, so I can't really tell you for sure about that. But hopefully pretty soon I'm going to get to do a kick-butt movie role, too.
That's coming soon. Well, I am interested because I know that you're such a role model, I think, for people – and a model of persistence for people who are in the entertainment industry and who are really trying to get their name out there. And I'm fascinated also just by your whole story. Maybe we could back up for a minute and just going back to your singing ability and just let people know how, I'm just amazed that from the time you were a little kid that you just sort of had an ear for music and were just able to write music and to sing. And did you have any formal training?
I pretty much started singing when I started talking. That's when I started singing, and I started emulating everything and just singing everything all the time, everywhere, to the point of where it was obnoxious to everyone around me because all I did was sing. And I didn't really write my first song probably until I was about 16. And I was just because I don't play any instruments, I kind of feel like my voice is my instrument, so – Mm-hmm. When I started, I started taking voice lessons when I was about 15, but then how I started writing songs was, of course every teenager has a journal and they just start writing things. And I just kind of had to express what I was feeling at the time. So I just wrote it down on a piece of paper. And that's I kind of have a photographic memory. So when I write, I get the lyrics and the melody at the same time. Sometimes I just get the melody and I have to put it in a little tape machine, but most of the time it's lyrics with a melody. And it's not always a whole song at the same time. Sometimes it's a piece of the song. Sometimes it's a chorus. Sometimes it's a verse. And I have to write it down on the paper. And once I write it on the paper, it's there forever. And I have books and books and books and books and books of songs. But my first song I wrote probably when I was about 16. And then I just kept on doing it. And I'm not one of those people that can sit down and go, oh, I'm going to write a song about, this coffee cup today or whatever, I'm going to write a song about a rainbow. I write generally things that happen to me or things that I'm passionate about or things that have happened to somebody I know. Generally things, because I'm Greek and I'm the drama queen, so, I talk with my hands and I'm pretty passionate. So most of the things I write about are things that I have felt or someone around me has felt. But no, I don't play any instruments and that's the way I write and that's just what I do.
So you got to love that creative process. I can relate to the passionate thing being Italian, so and using your hands.
We're not too far away from each other.
No, but now there's an interesting story behind We the People, though. Speaking of the writing process, why don't you share with our listening audience, how We the People came into being?
Yes, at the time, because, I really still am trying to get to the point where I want to be in my career, and I'm definitely making strides, but I'm not all the way there yet by any means. And, up until a little bit ago, I still had a pay the bills job. So that pay the bills job, at the time I was working as a cater waiter and sometimes on the bar. So I was working an event in down in Times Square, it was near the Macy's, and it was in Fashion Week. And, most of the people that I work with, and you have to remember at the time I wrote this was September of last year, it was, almost a year ago, I had been dealing with people on a regular basis. I don't live in New York City, but I work in New York City and go to auditions for acting in New York City. I'm in there quite frequently. So most of the people that I deal with are liberal, and they don't know what that means. They don't have any clue about what's happening. They, think that NBC is a reliable place to get their information. And, you know, oh, Barack Obama is cool. And it's like, I pretty much had like, 2 years of wanting to smash my head against a wall, because you can't have an intelligent conversation with anybody because A, they're not listening, B, they're not open to it, and C, they have no idea what you're even talking about. And if you tell them any kind of facts and logic, they'll literally say something like, oh yeah, well, Fox News made that up. Really? They did? It's like, it's just, why bother? So what happened was, I can't remember, I think I was listening to Hannity or something on my way into work, and I just got to work and I was just in one of those moods where I was really annoyed about what's going on. And the people that I was working with were just annoying me, and, you know, I got a cord in my head, and I just, and I was really mad, and I had a lot of things in my mind, so I wrote it on a cocktail napkin, and I wrote another line, and then I wrote another line, and I'm just sitting, because it was slow, I was on one of the slow bars, and I was upstairs in a Banana Republic store, so by the time I got done with work, I had, like, the first verse and a chorus, and I got in the car, because they worked with my honey, and I said, I wrote a song. And he's like, yeah, so? Because I write them all the time. And I said, well, this one is about, you know, what's happening. And he's like, okay. And so I sang it to him, and I said, is that silly? And he was like, no, I have chills. So we stayed up until, like, 4 o'clock in the morning, and then by the next morning, I had the whole thing done. And then I told my mom, I called my mom, and I said, Mom, I wrote a song. And she said the same thing. Okay, yeah, so what's different about this song than any other song? So I sang it to her, and she was like, I don't care what you do. We have to record that now. We have to record that now. So I recorded it and then, you know, made the CD and then we did the video. And the funny part was when we went to do the video, and we filmed it in different places. And then we went to D.C. to recreate me being at the march, because, of course, I got the nice footage from you. But we wanted to recreate that I was there. And we had no idea that the gay march on Washington was October 8th, and that's the day that we went to film. And so, you know, Robert calls us, and he's like, are you here yet? And we're like, no, we're parking the car. Well, do you want to know what today is? And I'm like, no. What? It's gay march. I'm like, you're kidding me. So we get out of the car, and there is, like, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of rainbow flags, gay people making out, Lady Gaga screaming on a microphone, can you hear us, President Obama? It's like, what more do they want? I'm kind of confused, but anyway, it was fun. They were, you know, there was a couple times where we'd be filming something, we'd have to stop because somebody would walk in front of me holding hands or whatever, or a rainbow flag would get in the camera, but it was interesting.
I'm sure it was, but I'll tell you, you would never know with the video. It looks like you're just in D.C. and there's people around, and just looking at it, it looks like it could have been the actual event last year.
Well,
so,
it was an event. It just wasn't our event.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, a lot of South Floridians that I know were very happy and excited to be included in that video and some of those photo montages. It was really great.
Oh, well, they were very responsive when I asked for photos on my Facebook page of people to, you know, release them for me to use. They responded so awesome. You guys are awesome. I love where you are. I love South Floridians. And especially Steve Rosenblum, who has my song to be his official campaign song, theme song. I can't talk. Theme song.
Yes.
So that's awesome.
Yes, and I will also mention that Steve is my co-host on Conservative Republican Forum on BTR every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern. Get a little plug
know,
in there.
I was
He's
just
also
on
running.
There. And I was just on there.
That's right. That's right. And you were on Liberty Bell when I was back at WAFS, although you were out of state back then, too, so it really didn't matter. I you know, that WAFS, I was actually on camera, and that was kind of fun. But this is a new experience, and even though I've been co-hosting shows, it's kind of funny. It's a whole different thing when you're actually hosting and managing the switchboard and talking and interviewing your guests. So,
but you're like Superwoman. You can do it, Daria.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thanks. Well, thank you. And hey, speaking of, you know what? I just remembered I have my list of things here to ask you about, and I know that you were recently in Philly, my birthplace, for an event. That's right. So what was Uni Tea all about? Was that like a sort of a mini tea party, or what was going on that day?
Uni Tea, you can go to uni-tea.org, and that was a tea party put together for everybody. You know, the other you know, media likes to say that, you know, all Tea Party people are racist and we're all these horrible, nasty things. And that was this Tea Party for everybody. And there was a lot of different, you know, diversity there. People, you know, just people, you know, mm-hmm. everybody, every race. And it was fabulous because there were so many really, really awesome, amazing speakers that day. There was Charles Payne. There was Andrew Breitbart. Yeah. There was a lot of people there speaking, and it was great. I mean, it was, you know, the first one, it was grassroots, and it was a little, you know, we had a little sound problems, but I mean, it was a great thing, and it was a lot of people coming together, and it was a chance to meet a lot of different people, and it was nice, and I got a Philly cheesesteak, so.
That's right. Your first experience with a Philly cheesesteak.
I didn't get it from Geno's or Pat's. No, Steve Rosenblum, I didn't, because it was too far away, and there was a line for an hour. And I had horns, and I needed to eat at that point because I eat every 3 hours.
Now, somebody posted in the chat room, and I know you are a workout maniac, but I was not aware that you ran 5 miles every day. Good for you.
I don't every day. I do pretty much almost every day. I train like – listen to me. I sound so intelligent. I train. I do cross training, and I do weights. So I do cardio and weights 3 days to 4 days a week, and then I also do cardio. Sometimes on those same days I'll do extra cardio, but I do cardio always on the days in between, and I do abs every day. Yeah, I'm a little bit addicted to endorphins because, you know, your body is, I don't want to sound silly, but your body is like this perfect working machine that God created, and it will work perfectly if you put the right foods in it and if you work it. And if you don't do anything with it, you're not going to get good results from it, so... You know, one of my heroes is Jillian. I mean, I might not agree with her on a lot of other issues, but as far as I think she does really amazing things for people, and she changes so many people's lives, and she gets so many people into being healthy and exercising. So, as far as fitness goes, she's a good role model.
Excellent. Well, you know, and the thing about conservatives is I think, unlike the left, we can kind of find the good things in people. Like, for example, I mean, I even though I tend to boycott most movies because I don't want my money indirectly supporting causes I don't believe in, you know, I'll still listen to rock groups and musicians, even if I know that they're avowed liberals. Or in the case that you're saying with Jillian, you know, like you can respect her because she's helping people become healthier, even though you might not agree politically. I feel like on our side of the aisle, I'm not saying every single conservative is like this, but it just seems like we're really the tolerant ones. Whereas on the left,
totally,
if you're not kind of towing their line.
Then you're boycotted, or you should just, you know, disappear from the face of the earth, like people have said about Sarah. I mean, they're just, they're very intolerant. But the funny thing is, like, about my song, I mean, you guys know me, so you know how I feel, and you know what side of the aisle I land on. But when I wrote my song, honestly, it was not about left and right. It was about right and wrong. It was about just, you know, my dad came here as an immigrant. He came here with $20 in his pocket. And, you know, America truly is the place where you can become anything that you want to become if you set your mind to it and you are diligent and you work hard and you don't give up. You can be anything you want to be. Nobody can stop you from being anything. The only person that can stop you is yourself. But, you know, because of the Constitution and because of our freedom, and if we continue down this road that they're taking us, it's not going to be that way anymore. And it's very frightening. And that's where my song came from. It wasn't, I mean, a lot of people, and I mean, I did put a lot of Tea Party images in the video, but a lot of people assume that but my song is not just for one, it's for Americans. It's for people of all parties, because I mean, of course, unless you're a Marxist, but, you know, it's for people that believe in the Constitution and believe in freedom. You don't necessarily have to be a Republican to like my song, you know, but.
Right.
So.
And that's so true. I mean, it really is really what this whole movement is about, is getting this country back to constitutional principles. You know, the country as envisioned by our founders. And as you said, a place where the government is limited, and where we follow the rule of law, and we have a constitution that recognizes that rights come from God, not government. And you don't even have to believe in God to be a beneficiary of the Constitution. But it's definitely where those principles came from. And I just get really disgusted when people don't don't remember that. And although I think that, you know, kind of getting back to your earlier point about how people are just so brainwashed, you know, the people you used to work with, they're so like blinded by the conservative, by the, you know, Democrat, Republican, like Republicans are all evil, Democrats are good, they're for the little guy. They've been so brainwashed, I think, by pop culture.
They have it completely backwards. They don't even know what they're even talking about.
Right.
It's annoying. So, like, it's very, very annoying.
So have you ever had, I mean, have there been any memorable confrontations, you know, in your in your previous employment where you actually tried to escape someone?
Oh, yeah. There's people that I won't even, I mean, oh, my goodness. One of my old managers, he is, well, of course, gay, and so that means, therefore, he is a liberal. You can't even just, well, I mean,
mind,
like, the,
yeah.
No, I mean, you know, I came into work one day with a McCain Palin. I mean, of course, McCain wouldn't be my first choice, but, you know, when you're faced with, you know, bad and worse, what are you going to pick, you know? You know, so I had a McCain Palin button on my jacket, and he looked at me like I had horns, like, take that thing off now. I mean, I wasn't, like, working at the time. I was just setting up. I mean, when you go, typically when you would get there, you'd get there, like, 2 hours before the event would start, and you're not going to get dressed until, like, 20 minutes before, so, you know, it's a free country. I can wear whatever I want, you know, and they can come in with rainbow flags and whatever the heck they want to come in with, and that's okay. But one little McCain Palin button and, like, the earth is crumbling. So, yeah, no, there's a lot of people I've had experiences with. Too many to even care to remember. I just chose basically, I mean, people knew I was where I came and from and what side of the aisle I was on, and I just didn't discuss it because there was, like, no point. But it's funny because there's a couple people that we used to work with who agreed with us, and we were like, we'd be in the corner huddling, talking, going, can you believe what's going on? Like, we're having these, like, secret little meetings, and they'd go, wait, nothing, we're not talking about anything. What? Can I get you a drink? What are you talking about?
That's so funny. Yeah, it's like finding water in the desert, you know, when you went.
It is, and you'd be surprised. The funny thing is, and then you'd be surprised, the people that you assumed were, like, totally liberal, then they're the ones that are, like, just feeling the same way you are, and it's kind of neat when you find that out about somebody, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's kind of funny. I'll give you an example, too, from my life briefly. Like, you know, right now I have a pay-the-bills job while I'm pursuing my novels and my blogging and commentary and you know, talk radio hosting, and you know, and the owners of this establishment are liberal, but they've been very good to me. Actually, you know, it's funny. I'm gonna step back from that. They're not actually liberal in everything that they believe, but they're just such hardline Democrats that, kind of like what we were saying, they really can't see the forest for the trees. But it was so funny. So there were these two women that were eating at the counter, and you know, they had at this establishment, they have two plasma TVs, and they always have the news on. And it's kind of funny because they will grudgingly put on Fox News to make their customers happy, you know, but they don't like it. If it were up to them, they'd have CNN on both televisions. So typically, you know, we have one TV with CNN and one with Fox. Well, Fox happened to be covering the Arizona law, and these two women sitting there were like, yeah, that's great. You know, I kind of heard them talking among themselves. So I kind of whispered to them. I'm like, I gave them a thumbs up. You know, I looked around, make sure nobody was looking at me. And I kind of gave him a thumbs up, and I said, oh, I'm so excited to hear that. And, you know, and I kind of gave him my card, and I said, listen, I'm involved. Here, you know, contact me if you want to know about events that are going on. And they were so funny, and they're like, well, we don't care. We're very open about our political beliefs. We're not like that anymore. And I said, yeah, usually I am, but I said, for the sake of harmony in the workplace, you got to cut me some slack here. But it was pretty funny.
Well, yeah, I think it depends on where you work and what, you know, but the industry that I was working in is, you know, events and parties in New York City. So, I mean, pretty much I probably have a lot more people on the other side of the aisle than you have to deal with. But, you know, it's funny because, like, in the thick of it, when you find somebody who agrees with you and you're just like, whoa, that's nice.
It's pretty exciting. Yeah, and even, like, I would say here, like, in the last 18 months that I've gotten really involved with, you know, with all the tea parties that sprung up, you know, here locally, it's just been really exciting to meet more and more people.
I know, you're making me jealous because I'm not down there with you. I'm up here.
Hey, well, you're welcome. You are welcome to come down here anytime.
I know. I was supposed to be down there already right now. I'm coming sometime in the next month or two. I don't know when.
Oh, good. All right, well, you definitely have to keep me posted. But
I'm
in the meantime now, that's a good lead into my next question, because you are performing later on this month at a very special event. So why don't you let our audience know about that?
There is an event on 8/27 in Rockville, Maryland at the Best Western, which is just a little bit outside of D.C., and it's a pre-8/28 event. It has nothing to do with Glenn Beck. I'm not performing at the whatever it's called, Restoring Honor thing, as much as I would love to be there. I am not going to be there. I am. It's because they know that a lot of people are going to be coming down for that, and so then they wanted to give them something to do. So this really cool lady has organized it, and it's basically a lot of different conservative artists coming together. You probably have heard of some of these people on Facebook. There's Anne-Marie Harpin. There is Lisa Mae Norton. There is I'm trying to go to my event for it, if I could find it, and then I could read them off to you intelligently. But again, Miss Technically Challenged is looking at her computer, and it's not cooperating. The Bobby Powers Band is going to be there, and they're actually backing me up. And it's going to be really cool because, from what I understand, it's going to be a daytime event and a nighttime event. And it's going to be nice because, you know, a lot of different kinds of people there, a lot of different kinds of music, and there's going to be it's just going to be really cool. It's just going to be a nice concert, and I hope to see people there. And it's really nice. It's just outside of D.C., and it's going to be great to get together with, like-minded people and, you know, have people that are agreeing with you and all that happy, fun stuff. And I'm going to be there with singing my song, We the People, and I Carry You With Me, and also I will have my CDs and my We the People T-shirts and all that fun stuff. So it's going to be great. I'm really excited. And then I'm also performing at the official 9/12 rally. And I have since got clarification since the last time I talked about this. It is two organizations are coming together, and it's the march, but it's some of it is on Saturday. Like there's a whole bunch of days of events. There's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So the Freedom Works and Unite in Action have come together, and the Freedom Works stuff is on Sunday, but the other stuff is Friday and Saturday. So for information on this event, you can go to marchondc.org, and it's Unite in Action are the people that are putting it together. But I'm performing at the Saturday rally, so it's in the afternoon on Saturday. I don't have my lineup or anything like that yet. It's going to be more details to come on my website, but I'm singing at the 9/12 rally. I'm going to be singing my song, We the People, and I'm not sure what else because I don't know my official time slot or set length, but I'm going to be there.
That is so exciting. And, of course, you'll post lots of pictures and videos on Facebook.
Oh, yes. I still have videos to post from the UDT, but I've been so busy with stuff that I haven't had a chance to get it up there yet because, changing websites and doing all kinds of stuff and working on, getting more CDs and, like, we're like a two-man army over here.
Yeah. Yep, I understand how that goes. But, it's really exciting. And for all of us who know you, when you make it big, it's going to be really fun to look back and say, hey, I knew her when.
Well, you'll still be knowing me when.
That's right. Exactly.
You'll still be knowing. I used to know her, but, I don't know her anymore.
And I'll be saying, yay, and she's conservative, too. Yay, she loves her country.
Yes, I love it. I just don't know, when did it become, that's what I don't understand. It's like, when did it become, you've got people out there like that, Rachel Maddow, and some really miserable, just unhappy people. It's like, when did it become so cool to hate your country? I don't, when did it become, I don't get that. That's just what I don't understand. I mean, how anybody cannot, I don't know, people with the, it's funny because I say I can't handle people with Bush derangement syndrome, but I have Obama derangement syndrome myself, so I guess that's like, throwing rocks at a glass house, but I don't know. It's just like, before the election, there was like this crazy sentiment of just craziness, and I don't know when it became cool to, like, not support your military or not support your country. I don't know. That's not cool in my book. The songs.
No, mine either. I think the seeds for that were planted back in the 60s, and I do think that the older baby boomers of that generation had a lot to do with it. And, you know, they kind of infiltrated over the years at public education and the university system and pop culture.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, these were the people who, instead of serving their country, you know, like the honorable Vietnam veterans who were, you know, pretty much tossed aside back then when they came home and just treated horribly, you know, they were busy, you know, smoking weed and just doing whatever they wanted and, you know, and just railing against their country. It's terrible.
And now they're running Congress and Senate. Isn't it great?
Yeah. Well, you know, the good thing is, I think, speaking for myself, there's a lot of things that President Bush did that I liked, but I mean, I was railing against the so-called compassionate conservatism, and he was growing the federal government and, you know, the whole amnesty thing. But I think, certainly a lot of other people were speaking out against that and melting the switchboard, but I really do think that it took someone as radical as Obama to really wake the country up in large, you know, in en masse, the way we're seeing right now. And I think it's, you know, I think it just really took that to get us back to talking about the founders and getting back to what we stand for.
I'm not saying, and again, I'm not going to get into specifics or, you know, like that and argue with people, but I mean, everybody has their views and everybody's entitled to their views. But, you know, and again, President Bush is not a perfect person by any means. Nobody's perfect. But I can tell you this, I felt safe when he was our president. I don't feel safe
absolutely.
Right now. And I live somewhere where, you know, I'm pretty much at risk because it's a very, you know, scary place to be. And I don't feel safe at all. I feel like, you know, we have people with no clue running our country and speaking to our enemies. And, you know, you cannot reason with people who don't want you alive, you know, who think your whole way of being is wrong. And you cannot reason with them. And, you know, I'm very frightened. And I didn't feel that way when he was our president. So.
Oh, no, I totally agree.
In terms of
I mean, in terms of foreign policy, I mean, he prosecuted the war on terror. And he knew, right. And I think, you know, as much as we hear about how, America, the world looked down on America under President Bush, I think they respected the fact that they knew he wasn't going to take any garbage, you know, and that he stood by Israel. And, you know, he wasn't going to put up with, you know, I supported what they did with waterboarding.
We're a doormat right now. We're a doormat.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Waterboarding is not torture. I'm sorry. It's a good thing I was not president because it'd be getting a lot worse than waterboarding. It'd be like a walk in the park compared to what I do.
You know, and now, I mean, and I know we talked about this on Conservative Republican Forum, but I still cannot believe that we are even discussing and that the New York City, I don't know if it was a city council or whoever it was, unanimously voted that it's okay to build a mosque on Ground Zero. Like, I'm thinking, what kind of world am I living in right now?
It's the Twilight Zone is what it is. Do you hear the theme music for the Twilight Zone? What's going on? I'm getting hives again, Daria. What are you doing bringing this topic up? All I can say is I hope every person who lives in New York votes for Carl Paladino, because if that moron Cuomo gets to be our governor, there's going to be a mosque at Ground Zero. And if Carl Paladino gets to be our governor, there is not going to be a mosque, because he's going to use eminent domain to stop it. So anybody who's listening who lives in New York State, better get your butt out and vote for Carl Paladino, because if he can become a millionaire in Buffalo, New York, which is a very, very economically depressed area, and has been for quite a very long time, then he's the person that can get New York State back on track. You know, we've had Spitzer, and then we have this moron that we have now. I'm totally un-PC right now, but, you know, it's my opinion, and I have a right to it. But, no, I think it's unspeakable that they're talking about putting a mosque there. And then everything else that's come out in the news lately about, you know, funding trips to the Middle East for this imam. And, I mean, it's just, my ears are bleeding. I can't even. It's disgraceful. It's despicable. But, you know, it leads to a deeper conversation of something that probably will take a lot longer time than we have to talk about. But it really leads you to wonder where Oblah's head is at, because when you do things like that, there's nothing to say. I mean, people were murdered there. I mean, our country was attacked. And then to let them, you know, how many mosques do we need in New York City, really, honestly? It's like, it's not okay to be a Christian. You have to take God out of school, God out of this, God out of that. You know, I can't do this. If you are in a Muslim country and you're even caught with a Bible, you'll go to jail or worse. If you have a cross on, jail, and worse,
exactly.
Unspeakable things will be done to you. We let everybody do whatever they want to do, and then we also just bend over for them also and become a doormat. Oh, go ahead, build a mosque here where you murdered a whole bunch of people. It's okay. It's so not okay. It's so ridiculous. Bloomberg's got to go. I mean, this will take like 6-hour conversation. I might as well just stop because it's going to get covered in Hives.
Yeah.
It's maddening. Yeah. There, you know,
it's political correctness on steroids. It really is. It's absurd. It truly is. And, you know, as other talk radio hosts have pointed out, I believe Diane Student, too, one of my favorite blog talk radio hosts, said, yeah, they're going to build a mosque there. We haven't even built a memorial to the people who were murdered that day. But, yeah, by all means, let's go ahead and let's approve a mosque. I mean, it's just crazy.
It's
so
ridiculous.
But
not only that, but we're, like, funding trips for him to go raise money to build the mosque. I mean, like, seriously?
Yes. And we're the intolerant ones, you know. Yeah. And just as you said, I mean, could you imagine the outcry? Let's just say if they wanted to build a Catholic cathedral or – you know, some kind of a Methodist church at that site.
Oh, my Lord, yeah. No, you know, all the gays would, like, protest, and Rachel Maddow's head would explode, and, you know, CNN would just, it'd be craziness. They wouldn't, we can't do anything that involves God or Christianity, but everybody else has to be able to be free to worship the way they want to, and not only that, but they have to be free to infringe on us and make us uncomfortable, and that's, you know,
yeah,
that's the epitome of hypocrisy.
Exactly. And, you know, and speaking of, you know, and bringing up a point about gays, like gays, like, you know, these militant people like Rachel, as Diane calls her, mad cow, you know, they're going to go try living in Iran if they want to know what real oppression against gays and real bigotry looks like. Because in Iran,
yeah,
the government hunts them down like they're animals. I read an article about it. I was literally in tears listening to that, and I'm thinking, why aren't you railing against that? And the same thing for these so-called feminists. Why aren't they railing against the treatment of Muslim women who are honor killed and stoned to death and have their genitals mutilated? Where are the feminists on this? Talk about hypocrisy.
It's selective. It's like, it's what's good for them. You know, that's why, I mean, I don't, you know, I'm whatever. I mean, and again, I'm spurting it out, and I've been talking about rainbow flags or whatever. I mean, I, you know, socially, I don't care what people do as long as they're not bothering me. I don't think that it should be
right.
called marriage. I'm very much against that. But what people do in their own home, it's none of my business, and I'm not going to judge people for that. I have my belief system, and that's what I believe. But, you know, Islam is not a peaceful religion. Anybody who does any research into it and really discovers what it's about, it's not a peaceful religion. It's not. They're barbarians. They treat women like animals, and it's ridiculous. And if anybody does research about it, they'll find that. And I can't
it's a strident political system kind of wrapped up in the cloak of religion too. I mean, Sharia law. I mean, it's just oppression.
There's a very really really amazing film called The Stoning of Soraya M.
Oh yes.
It's a true story, and it's you know, it's crazy what happens to women over there, and, you know, they're trying to do it over here, and people, there's a lot of things that people have no idea what's going on. I mean, there's a lot of films that you know, discuss it, and Bridget Gabrielle talks about a lot of these things, and there's, like, a couple films, actually, the Obsession, The Case for Fear, and The Third Jihad, and, you know, they're pretty
Third Jihad
frightening
was wonderful.
Movies. They're pretty frightening movies, but you know what? It's going on. It's happening, and there's people that are trying to do these things. So people need to be aware of what's going on. And just to think that with all of that knowledge that they're talking about, yeah, it's okay. Let's just put a mosque there. You know, I don't think it's okay at all, and I'm really hoping and praying that Carl Paladino becomes the governor of New York State, because I think he's the only person that's going to stop it, because New York City is filled with politically correct people that have their heads you know where.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And they say, well, they say we get the government we deserve. So let's hope. I'm happy to know that there's a strong candidate, though, Carl Paladino. I'm going to look him up later.
Yes.
Thanks for letting me know. So anything else coming up that you want our audience to know about for you? We've got a couple of more minutes here.
Well, I'm working on some endorsement deals, and I can't speak about anything right now, but hopefully soon they will all be completed and I'll be able to announce them. Just working on booking some more performances and working on auditions and, you know, things for acting. And I'm also working on some new music. I've been writing for about a year now with my cousin, and so I'm hoping to be able to get into the studio and do that soon. But I'm just booking right now with all the you know, political things coming up and the different events that are going on. I'm working on booking performances and just being able to get out at events and sing my song, We the People, because my goal is, my goal is for more Americans to be able to hear that song, to become inspired, again, whatever side of the aisle they're on, so they can become inspired to get involved in our government and find out what's going on and actually have a stand and not be like, have an election go by and be like, oh, wow, I didn't vote or I didn't know about that, and like, you need to get involved. And I feel like if more people hear it, they can get inspired and they can get involved in the process. So my goal is to get my song, my video viral for We the People, and everybody can help do that by passing it along on Facebook and email and Twitter. I have a Twitter page. People can follow me on Twitter and go to my website and learn about me, www.avaaston.com. And that's pretty much about all, really. Right now, besides working out every day.
Well, I know. I see your updates. That's awesome. Well, Ava, I want to thank you so much for joining me again this evening. It's amazing how quickly an hour goes by, but it was great as always. And please keep me posted as to when you might be heading down south anytime soon.
I will.
I'd love to get you again. And thank you so much for all that you do, because the song is truly inspiring. And it also proves that entertainers can be, you also prove, I should say, that entertainers simultaneously beautiful and sexy and smart and attractive and still love their country and know what's going on and be highly intelligent.
That's one thing I forgot to touch on really fast is that, if people do go to my website, they'll see on the front page kind of like a little bit what my goal and my mission is. I'm really passionate about different charities and, you know, my goal is to be, honestly, a singing philanthropist. I don't want to be corny or anything, but, you know, I want to be basically the polar opposite of Lady Gaga. I want to be as big as Lady Gaga, but I want to be, you know, not putting out negative images for people and, you know, upside down cross tattoo on my arm. I want to have positive image, you know, that it is cool to love your country and it is cool to support your military. And, you know, it is cool to, you know about your founding fathers and know what the Constitution means and be intelligent. So, you know, and I want to do good things for the different charities with my music. So that's kind of like what I'm all about. And I forgot to touch on that because I got so wrapped up in that mosque. You got me breaking out in hives. But, I want
to
be a positive role model for people.
We can delve into that more. Excellent. And you know what, speaking of role models too, especially, and I'll just touch on this briefly before we end too, especially for young girls. I mean, my nieces who are 11 and 9 are very involved in local theater and singing. In fact, they're going to be in a production of The Sound of Music. And my one niece just did Annie. And I as thrilled as I am to see that, I do worry a little bit. I don't want them to be negatively influenced by, you know, these pop parts that we see out there. So that's what I admire so much about performers like you, who, again, prove that you can be attractive and pretty and smart and sexy without
and not have naked.
Exactly. Thank you. And while remaining classy and retaining your dignity. So
yeah.
And that's definitely needed in our culture today. So
well, I'm glad you noticed. That's my goal.
Of course. Well, Ava, thank you so much for joining me tonight. We will definitely do this again soon. And keep up the great work.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me. And everybody, don't forget to pass around my We the People video on YouTube and go to my website and follow me on Twitter and Facebook.
Absolutely.
All right. Bye, Daria.
Take care. Thank you.
Bye, bye-bye. Steve. And I want to say hi to Ellen, too. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that was the multi-talented Ava Aston. Please support her. Because she's a patriot and she's talented, and trust me, I know how hard it is to break through as a self-published novelist and aspiring blogger and talk radio host. So definitely do what you can to help her video, We the People, go viral. And I just want to remind everyone on that note that you can check out my commentary and information about my book, Water Signs, A Story of Love and Renewal, and my forthcoming sequel, Sea to Shining Sea, at my blog, which is dariaanne.wordpress.com. That's dariaanne.wordpress.com. And I also want to put out there, I think I mentioned this last week, that I am involved in a wonderful project with Kevin Price of Price of Business, another Facebook contact. With a team of writers, we are putting together a book called 365 Days of Liberty. It will be a devotional type of a book designed to help inspire people to learn more about our founders and our country, to teach them proper history, and to just sort of whet their appetite enough to want to go ahead and then research more on their own. So if all goes well, we will be releasing this book sometime before Christmas. And I want to thank all of my writers for their participation in this project. I'm sort of the project manager slash editor, and it's been a pleasure reading all of these entries. So with that, folks, I want to thank you for listening to the second edition of the Liberty Bell Hour here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a wonderful week. I will see you on Facebook. Keep the faith. If you live in Florida, please make sure that you vote on August 24th or earlier, because the early voting locations are open. And we the people will prevail. All right, I'll see you next Thursday.
got American faith in America's heart. Go on.